If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 7. Now, I want you to stay with me. I really have a message in my heart that it's not even an easy message to preach. But it's God's Word. And I'm going to preach God's Word. We're preaching on the double calls in the Scripture. Actually, if you did what I asked you, you go study them. There's actually 10 of them in the Bible. And last week we preached on Saul, the call to salvation. Now, tonight I am going to use 3 of them and put them in a package. And I'm going to be preaching tonight on not on the call of salvation, but on the call of sorrow. Now, hear me now. The call of sorrow. What is sorrow? It's a feeling of deep distress caused by loss or a disappointment. The Lord Jesus is going to deal with the subject in 3 different passages of Scripture. I guess is the most sorrowful thing that I could preach on tonight. Hear me out. The most sorrowful thing tonight is religion without Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me say it again. There's nothing more sorrowful, more sad than false religion. Ain't nothing breaks the heart of God more than folks who believe they're right, but they're desperately wrong. Somebody help me preach. And let me say this to you. We get this image of Jesus. By the way, he's the greatest preacher. How many agree with that? Amen. I want to tell you why he was the greatest preacher. He was the most balanced preacher. Somebody help me now. See, y'all going to die on me tonight? He was a balanced preacher. Amen. He would preach sermons like this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's a compassionate message. He would say verses like this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then he would turn around. And especially when he focused on false religion. One particular group, actually it was 2 groups in one, and I'll cover them tonight. They were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Here's what he said about them. Next time y'all say John Smith's a hard preacher, I'm going to take you and show you Jesus. Next time you said, I'm just a little crude and a little rough around the edges, I'm going to take you to Jesus. Because I've never said to you, you look like whited sepulchers on the outside, but you're dead, full of dead men's bones on the inside. In other words, you're rotten and you're dead and you're ugly and you're filthy. Woo! I didn't say that. He said that. When he was addressing false religion. Did I say there was 2 major religions of the day? I want to share this because we still have them today. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And by the way, they had one thing in common. They hated Jesus. I still say if we're going to preach, we ought to lift up Jesus. I tell you what this world needs. They need a whole big dose of Jesus. Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noon, Jesus all day long. Hey, you can't go wrong preaching Jesus. But there's something about that group, those 2 groups. Let me share it because I'm getting in my mess, I promise. But they had both extremes, Chad. The Pharisees took tradition and added to it. They were what we call the traditionalists, but they added their own stuff to it. By the way, I would call that some of these, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to be all over social network this week. They were that crowd of legalists that act all kinds of stuff that's really not Bible. Somebody help me preach. I heard a preacher one time, this is the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. He said, you're out of the will of God if you have service in any other time than 7 o'clock in the evening. I thought, well, I guess I'm going to hell. We have it at 5, 6. It just really depends on what mood I'm in. But see, there is a crowd on the right that are ugly and extreme and mean. And the mother-in-law doesn't even like them. Right. And by the way, some of them are called independent Baptists. Right. Amen. I mean, they're extreme. Right. I mean, they're out there on the right side and they hate everything and everybody. I don't even think they like their wife. They're like nobody. And we see them. You could go to Twitter or you could go on Facebook. You'll see them. Man, they're lambashing. Everybody hate everybody. But hold on, man. There's also another crowd. They're not on the right. They over here on the left. They the Sadducees. You know what the Sadducees were? They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And where the legalists and the Pharisees would take everybody, Jeff, to the right, the Sadducees would go over here and go to the very opposite. And by the way, but they had the same nature as the Pharisees because they thought everybody was wrong also. And by the way, I can't win. Because the Pharisees hate me, and the Sadducees hate me, and the left crowd hates me, and the right crowd hates me. But I want to be honest with you, I think I'm doing pretty good if they all hate me, but Jesus still loves me. Somebody got to get some sense and get in the Bible and preach the truth. Amen. Just get on Twitter sometime. You see that bunch of liberal, loose, liberal, ignorant people? They drive me nuts as that right-wing extremist that ain't got enough sense coming out of the rain. Hello? Oh, I am. And by the way, in most cases, both sides live in nonsense. I want you to know if you add anything to the gospel, you're on your way to hell. And if you take anything away from the gospel, you're on your way to hell. Somebody help me preach. And here's the sad fact. There is a lot of religion without Christ. So tonight, I'm going to let Jesus talk to you. And I don't know if I said in my soul when I was praying about this message, Lord, just help me to get it off the ground. Because I believe I can go somewhere once I got it off the ground. But my heart breaks at the state of the church in America. It breaks. I break over those that are so loose and liberal, you can't identify anything holy or godly. And then my heart breaks for some people that call themselves independent Baptists that are so ruthless and mean that they kill their own and kick them to the curb, and they don't even ever know what a second chance is all about. Somebody help me, please. I want to raise my hand and tell you, I got a God of a second chance. By the way, you can still be straight in the Bible. Tonight I'll give you two or three things. Since I had a long introduction, it may be two. I'm going to take you to three places where the Lord Jesus Christ deals with religion, false religion. And I want to show them to you. You follow me, would you? Turn to Matthew chapter number 7. First of all, I want to talk about the bondage of sin. Turn to Matthew 7:21. If you're there, say amen. Boy, I'll tell you, this is not me preaching. This is Jesus. How many believe Jesus told it like it was? I want to be honest with you. You preach this kind of message in most churches today, you'll make folks mad. Or here's what you'll get. Well, you're trying to get me to doubt my salvation. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're doubting your salvation, you need to really take a good look. Because I know that I'm saved. I don't care how hard your preaching is, you can't get me off the fact there was a day in my life that I repented of my sins and I trusted Christ. I don't care how hard you preach it or how long you preach it, you ain't shaking my faith. If what I preach tonight shakes your faith, maybe your faith needs shaking. My preacher. Let's look at the passage. And I want to ask a question after I read it. How many of y'all feel like it's sad? Look at it. Look at it with me. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Listen. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Listen to this. How many agree with me? This is sad and sorrowful. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. How many believe that's sad? Amen. Look at me. It is possible for you to go to church, do works in church, and still end up in hell. Jeff, that's straight preaching. Listen to me. It is possible to have your name on a church roll, but not have your name on a roll up yonder. Amen. You say, preacher, what is the most important thing I ought to know about this message? You need to know if you're saved and sure that you're saved. And hey, don't be a professor without Christ. And he condemns them. He challenges them. He judges them. Let me say three things about the bondage of sin. Lord, Lord. First of all, look at verse 21, the Father's plan. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. By the way, Jesus said, it's more than just saying, it's also doing. Boy, squad in here now. See, Jesus can cite a phony every time. You can tell me if your lips you're saved, that don't mean you're really saved. Am I preaching? You said, what is the will of God? Now, I want to give it to you. And I'll have groups on both sides after me. The will of God is that you see yourself a sinner. And you're a wicked sinner, and you ungodly sinner, and you know you're a wicked, ungodly, dirty sinner, and you repent of your sin. Amen. And you trust Christ as Savior. Amen. That's the will of God. And I want you to know this. It's not preached much by us, but the result will be a changed life. Amen. The result will be you'll have fruit. The result will be that you'll have something to show for what you have. Amen. Somebody help me preach. We see a lot of people today profess Christ. They had no fruit. They've been no change, but they've come to church. They look good on Sunday. Everybody thinks they're good. They can sing good. They can preach good. They can do other things good, but they're lost and desperate, and Christ condemned them all. Is that straight?
Yes, sir.
And secondly, by the way, let me say two things about them. They lack sincerity. By the way, if you ever repent of your sins, you're going to be sorry about them. I see some church people that live worse than some openly sinful people who says they're lost and know it. They're in the same garbage. They're into alcohol, drugs, sexuality out the roof. They're into pornography. By the way, there's something wrong with you if you consistently sin and never feel bad and never get chastised. There's something wrong with you. Most likely you're lost. And quit trying to be a phony. Quit trying to say, oh, I'm saved. I don't care how bad I was, everything I've done, I'm saved. Well, wait a minute. Maybe the reason you keep doing what you've always done is you've never really repented in the first place. Boys, you said that's awful straight. That ain't me saying that, but Jesus. You lack sincerity, then you lack submission. By the way, you either go to heaven God's way or you won't go to heaven at all. I know that the Calvinists out there say, well, you don't have anything to do with it anyway. He chooses elect, and the unelect's going to hell, and the elect's going to heaven, and one day the elect will wake up that they're elect. What a false doctrine. Now, I believe the gospel is for every creature, whosoever will. God, he has a will for everybody to be saved. Look at verse 22. How many believes this straight preaching? It ain't me preaching, Jeff. It's Jesus. Some of these people today on social media, by the way, I'll be on a clip tonight. Somebody will come after me. Because, see, they're getting social media, and they judge everybody, and their nose is down at everybody. Somebody help me preach. Not only the Father's praying, look at verse 22. The false profession. They're false with their words. Look at verse 22. Somebody say that. Look here, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord, in their words. Let me illustrate this fact. This is when we could get by with it, and it's hard to do this anymore, but we still do it. Over where Kroger's used to be, where Big Lots is, we did a blitz over there one time. And we give a survey card out. I never forget it. Did a survey card out. How many of you believe you're going to heaven when you die? And there was 100 surveyed. And 97 out of the 100 said, I'm going to heaven when I die. But then we had a follow-up question. How do you know you're going to heaven after you die? And only 3 said, I'm going to heaven because I repented of my sins and trusted Christ as Savior. And the rest of them, it was good works or this or that or something else.
Amen.
Boy, am I preaching? And we can giggle about it. We may even make fun about it. But I want you to know something. It's sad. Not only was they false in the words, but they're also false in the works. Look what the Bible said. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. Look here. Have we not prophesied in thy name? Wow. And in thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many wonderful works. Whew. Look at their warrant. They said, we've done it all in the name of Jesus. By the way, everything that says they're religious really is not.
Amen.
Just because you say you have something really don't mean you do.
Amen.
Boy, it's quiet in here. Stay with me. If you're saved, this doesn't bother you. Amen. Look at verse 23. Now, this is a sad thing. This breaks my heart. I hope there's nobody in Taze Valley Baptist like this. I hope I don't have a member falls in this group. Then look at verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A final pronouncement. All in church, you've testified. In church, you said, man, I'm saved. Every time Preacher Smith said, if you die today and you know you're going to heaven, you raised your hand. But Jesus said, I never knew you. You've never had a relationship with me. By the way, I really believe salvation is having a relationship with God. See, we see the day of their doom. He said, you're doomed. You got religion, but you're doomed. Then he said the declaration of their doom. He said, I never knew you. I'm going to tell you, you weren't saved. Now, I want to tell you, I'm nobody's judge. I have enough problem with myself. But there's a whole lot of people with a whole lot of profession. But every day of the week, they live like a devil. Boy, it's quiet in here. And spiritual things are so far from them. Amen. Then the denial in the doom. He said, I never knew you. I'm convinced there's going to be people who get up here and say, hey, I was a member of Taze Valley Baptist Church. Pastor Smith was my pastor for 40 years. And he's going to look at him and say, I never knew you. And I'm going to be there. And I'll see that white throne judgment. And I kind of understand why there's no tears wiped away until after that. Because I'm going to weep. I will weep if there's some of my church members that really didn't get it. That's why this is called the call of sorrows. This is getting so strong for me. I don't know how long I can preach. And I see the departure in the doom. Look at it. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me. Would it be awful, Jeff? Hey, Jeff, would it be awful for somebody who thought and were persuaded, yes, I am, and they come to the judgment bar of God, the white throne judgment, and they said, I was a saved man. And he looked at him and said, I never knew you. Depart. That takes my breath. And by the way, I'm convinced we don't preach it straight enough anymore. We allow so much and there's so much liberality and looseness in our church. We don't preach salvation right. We don't preach real repentance anymore. And the result is we get a church full of people that profess and not really possess. Then the denunciation in the doom. Look at it. Whew. Ye that work iniquity. Now hold a minute. I want to be honest with you. Ain't nobody in here knows everybody else's heart. I don't know your heart, Lois, and you don't know mine. But I want all y'all to know that God knows everybody's heart. This ain't Joel Osteen preaching, this is Jesus. No. It's not some right-wing fanatic, somebody that falls back on tradition. No, this is Jesus. Right. All right, number two. And I'm just going to preach on two of these. Turn one more place. And I want you to go to Matthew's gospel. Stay in it. And we're still on the call of sorrows. And turn to Matthew chapter 23. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
One of you. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Number two. First of all, we have the bondage of sin, Lord, Lord. Then I want you to notice the blindness of Israel. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. Look at verse 37. If you're there, are you there?
Amen.
Look at the double call. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which was sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. It's not that you can't be saved, that you won't be saved. And I know that's going to really mess up the Calvinistic theology, because they say you can't resist God and you can't say no to God and ultimately you'll be saved. But right there, Jesus said, because of your blindness, you would not come. You will not come. Not that you didn't come. Christ died for everybody, but they chose not to come. Look at verse 27 or 37, the solemn denial, the city in the denunciation, the holy city. And by the way, tell Joe Biden I said this, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It is the holy city. Donald Trump was about half crazy, but he's real right when he done that. Amen. This city that had so much given to them. But they were persecutors of the faith. They killed the prophets. You know why there's a lot of people on social media and everywhere else wanting to down churches like this and down preachers like me? You want to know why? Because they'd rather shoot the messenger than accept the message. It's always easy to shoot the messenger. It's always easy to shoot him and find fault in him. By the way, I have fault. I'm not a perfect man, but I want to tell you, I'm preaching about a perfect Savior out of a perfect book, and I believe that God can save anybody.
Amen.
Y'all with me? I tell you what's wrong with America today. America's like Jerusalem. We've been blessed. God has blessed us, but we are blind. But look at him. He, the desire of compassion. He said, I come to you, but you would not. Then look at verse 38, the spiritual desolation. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, or judgment is coming. By the way, judgment is coming to false religion. Judgment's coming to those that profess something but doesn't possess them. Listen, teenager. Listen, mom and dad. It better be real in you. You better not be blind. You better just not just think you're saved. You better know you're saved.
Amen.
Look at verse 39. The Savior's demand. Look at it. Are you there? For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I want to give, hey Chad, let's get context right. He's condemning Israel. But I want all y'all to know, Romans 9, 10, and 11, the Calvinists have perverted those chapters. But they all are talking about the one day restoring Israel to their kingdom. And one day, their every eye shall see him. And hallelujah, the Bible says it like this, not me. All of Israel be saved.
Amen.
They're blinded right now. By the way, somebody ought to shout if you're a Gentile, because of their blindness, this old Gentile boy has been grafted into the wild olive tree, and I'm a pot. Well, somebody say amen, and the Savior has come to me. Lastly, I'll give you the last one. It's what I preached on this morning. It also is a call of sorrow. And it's called the burden of Christ. And I won't preach long on it because I did it this morning over and over. But I do want to bring one last point from it. Look back with me, if you can, to Matthew 27 as I was there this morning. And verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now listen to this. Here's what I really want to give you. Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. The burden of Christ. I seen the darkness around the cross we preached on this morning. I seen the brokenness on the cross. But here's what I want to give you in closing. You know why people die and go to hell? Is because of the blindness concerning the cross. Here's what they done. When he cried out, Jeff, and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here's what they said. He's crying out to Elijah. And I want to tell you, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, lest the glorious gospel of Christ shine in them. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Whether you're a teenager, a mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, what I'm about ready to say is the most important thing you'll hear today. If you were to die today, how many of you really, really know that you're going to heaven? No, not because your name's on a church book, but because you repented and trusted Christ. Raise your hand. Hold them up. If you don't know for sure, don't raise them. If you're deceived, don't raise them. Thank you. How many right now say, Preacher Smith, I don't know for sure I'm saved. If I died today, maybe you've been religious, maybe you made a profession, but you really don't believe it's real. But you're in church tonight. And you say, Preacher Smith, I don't want to die and go to hell. I have been blinded. And I don't want my religion and some profession standing in my way. I really know I'm not saved. If you're here, whether you made a profession or not, or never made a profession, and you're not saved, but you'll slip your hand up right now and say, pray for me. I don't know for sure I'm saved, and I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand. I don't know for sure, so slip it up high. Nobody's looking. I'm not looking. Well, I'm looking, but nobody else is looking. I mean, sorry. Look at me. If you don't know, just step up and say, Preacher, I don't know what I'm saying. How many right now? Come on now. Let's quit playing church. How many right now say, okay, Preacher, your preaching didn't make me lost tonight, but it did make me realize I'm backslidden. And it did make me realize I'm not where I should be. And it did make me realize I need to get closer to God. And it did make me realize I need God's touch again in my life. How many Christians are here that know you're saved, but you know you're not where you used to be with God? And you're back sitting on God. And it's a sad thing. How many just be honest and slip up your hand and say, I'm saved, but I'm not right where I ought to be. Raise it up. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Come on, no, yes, I see those hands. I see them. Don't fool around now. Preacher Smith, I know I'm saved. But boy, preacher, during the week I ain't been living it. During the week I catch myself saying little smutty words. Preacher, I catch myself wanting a beer and I'm wanting to do something that's not right. I have been preaching. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm telling the truth tonight. I know I'm saved, but I'm just doing things that I know not pleasing to God. Preacher, I'm a gossip. I talk about people awful. And I'm bitter and angry. I know I'm saved, but boy, preacher, I got a lot of mess in me. Slip up your hand and say, if you really need God to help you tonight, raise them up. Some more. Yes, some more. Yes. Stand up with me. If God spoke to your heart, unsaved or saved, would you come around this altar? And if you are saved, maybe you just need to come around and just wet the altar with tears and say, thank God I know I'm saved. And it ain't false, it's true. Would you come? Our Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. Thank you for the truth that I preached tonight. Thank you for the liberty I've had. Thank you the way the church responded to what I preached. In Jesus' name.